Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jermaine, for those words. And wanted to say, as you were saying that, you are a means of grace to me. And it is such a blessing, and to so many others here. What a joy. What a joy it is to be with you. Happy Advent, everyone. Oh, wow. What a beautiful new tradition for our family, and maybe a timeless tradition for this congregation. How lovely it was to see you all coming forward and putting up these Christ monograms, these chrismons, these reminders of the season. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask once again that you would bring us into a deeper awareness of your presence. God, we thank you for all these reminders, all these vehicles, these means of grace all around us, for your prophets pointing us to your truth. So God, I ask that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you would have to say to us today. And as always, God, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me, that my words might contain your words, your truth. God, we love you and we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. My son asked right before I got up to preach, he said, Dad, are you going to preach a sermon like long, like you normally do? It's that kind of thing. I said, probably longer today, son. Got a lot to talk about, so I hope you guys will sit tight and you're not too hungry yet. But it is—it's such a sweet season, and I always get kind of nostalgic when it comes to Christmas. And I was thinking about all the reasons why, and I think the deepest reason why is I remember my childhood, and I know you might remember your childhood as well. Someone was expecting and preparing for you to come along. And for you to be vulnerable that first Christmas, you don't remember it. Maybe you were the baby Jesus in the Christmas play that year. I remember the year that we had a seventh-month-old, and our brand-new four-year-old was Mother Mary. And Jesse got to play the baby Jesus that year. How wonderful that is to have those traditions, those things that we remember, that we look back on. As the season of preparing and expecting comes around and we look forward together, and maybe you have memories and traditions that you love to bring out this time of year. I know that we have certain Christmas ornaments that just remind us of times gone by and people that we love and remember, and that they're part of the celebration as well. And we gather around, and maybe you have now been on the other side of that, where now you get to embody the spirit of the jolly fat man that leaves presents under the tree. Maybe you have certain things that you hold dear as well. We come to this time and this season with great reverence as we circle again our families around the story of Christ's coming. And we think about Advent. You know, this word, it means coming. And so the first Sunday of Advent, we always look forward to what's to come, and we look forward to Christ coming again in final victory at the end, as it is promised. We sing these songs once again that always kind of stir up that feeling within us. And I wanted to give just an extra special shout out to Matt, our music team, and all the wonderful music that they're bringing, and how nice it is. And somebody that doesn't always get a shout out, but Mark Pomeranz. Mark on the keys. Wow. I just look, every time I see Mark, I look forward to more music. We're learning how to play the piano at home. Mark, we need lots of help. And especially with the hymnal. And it's a great book of musical mystery to me, but it's so nice to be able to see a man open it up and play all these timeless songs that are so wonderful. I think this time of year, especially about the hymn, it's kind of an Advent hymn, and we're going to close with it today, this song by Charles Wesley. His friends called him Chuck. I don't know. Maybe. But it's the song, hymn number 196, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee." We are looking forward and expecting. And so we go to our familiar scripture this morning from Luke's gospel. And I want to talk about the expectation that we have and the expectation that's all through the scriptures. We come to this scripture from Luke's gospel in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This is the word of God for us today, and we say, thanks be to God. I wanted to lift up that scripture, especially because of the last part, and to talk about that expectation, that hope. And it goes all the way back. Talk about long expected. It goes all the way back to the very beginning, to Genesis. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're tempted by the snake. And there's you know that this is much more than just this literal story of a talking snake. It the snake symbolizes the great evil and darkness and deception and all things awful and evil come into the story. The snake tricks the couple, and they fall from grace. And they are not allowed to go back into Eden. They're kicked out of the garden. But there's a promise right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that one day, there'll be someone who will come from the seed. It says, from the seed of the woman, which is a really strange thing to say. Even in Hebrew, the seed of the woman. And it will be an offspring. And this is God saying this to the devil, the snake, Satan. He will wound your head, and you will wound his heel. The Hebrew word for wound is bruise. And it is a strange promise right there in the very beginning. And we don't hear any more about this promise. We just have this idea that there will be one to come that will crush the snake. Well, we don't hear anything more about this. We see this theme, lots of different themes going on in the Old Testament. One is that a remnant will remain. When it looks like all hope is lost, there will be a remnant that'll come. So we have Noah, and the earth is flooded, but we have this remnant, this family that keeps going on through that, doing God's will. And then we get to Abraham. The great blessing is given to Abraham, and so we see this lineage in Matthew's gospel. It starts off with Abraham, the father of Isaac, and we have this promise given to Abraham that all people will be blessed by Abraham's descendants. Remember, they'll outnumber the stars in the sky. And so from there, we follow this family, and the great-grandson of Abraham is Judah. And we hear this prophecy that from the line of Judah will come a great king who will be the hero that will crush the snake. And so we follow along how Judah's descendants, well, the first king that we come to then is King David. And so there's this hope of this king that'll crush the snake. And so David's a hero. I wonder if he'll be the snake crusher. But he's infected with this evil, and he doesn't crush the snake. Matter of fact, the opposite happens. He's crushed, but still there's this promise that God makes to David. Look at this. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And if you're like me, when you hear that last word, your mind automatically goes to the forever and ever. Goes to the yeah. That's what we sing at Easter time, right? Yeah, so there's this promise given to David, that one of David's descendants. And so you follow David's descendants, and it's seven generations, and they just downwardly spiral. They give in to the snake. They follow after other gods and sex and money and power, and they don't do what's right until it's so bad that they lose it all. They run it right into the ground, and they're taken over by the Babylonians, which means that they don't even have any expectation for a king. There's not even any more kings. Who will be the king that's the snake crusher? And yet, the prophets, they point to a king that is to come. And they're filled with hope. And as we talk about the prophets are those that I love how we talk about this in Godly Play for the kids. Prophets are those who come so close to God, and God comes so close to them that they know what God wants them to say and to do. And they keep on promising that there's gonna be a king to come. And as we hear the prophets pointing towards the king that is to come, we hear more about what this king is going to do, what this king's going to look like. We hear in Isaiah that he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. And then we get a little bit more specific in Isaiah chapter 53 about how this king is going to do this. How is he going to crush the snake? And it says that he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God and stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. So we have this prophecy in Isaiah about what is to come. And so from there we come to Bethlehem. The prophets talked about Bethlehem. That we even knew this place where the king was to be born. And in Micah chapter 5, verse 3, we hear about Bethlehem. And so in Matthew's gospel, when the wise men come to see the king, they're troubled. And all the scribes, they see the prophecy and they head to Bethlehem. To Bethlehem. Luke 2, for unto you this day in the city of Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This expectation rests on our hearts as well. As we look forward. And, you know, as I think about it, you follow that on just a little bit more and you get really what kind of king Jesus would be. He has people, he grows up, you see. He doesn't stay a baby. He grows up and he teaches and he heals and people believe in him. And they believe that he's the king, that he's going to really do this mighty act and crush the snake and maybe return the people to this wonderful time. But he begins to tell them that the way that he'll do that, he'll go to the cross and he'll take all of the evil of humanity to himself. And it's the final fatal wound of the snake. And it would be a tragedy if the story ended there. If the story ended there, we wouldn't be here. But he comes back to life, which delivers the final blow to the snake. The snake's crushed by this. Jesus comes back to life and gives us hope. And gives us the New Testament talks about how he will return again in final victory. And we get this chance to sort of see these prophecies of the end times. How is it all going to end with Jesus coming back? You know, when I think about the ending and I think of the return of Christ, I think about how we've been waiting for the second coming of Christ. This has been, you know, it's 2,000 years. And we're still supposed to be in this place of expectation and waiting. But, you know, I'm always touched by something a colleague of mine said years ago as he held a Bible and he said, you know, I don't know if you guys have read the end, but he said, I've read the end of this book and I don't want to spoil it for you, but we win in the end. And I always think of that when I think of Advent, of looking forward. It is a victory that we will celebrate, that we look forward to together as a church. Let's see, the very end of the Bible says this: he who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. It's as if to say it's a beginning. We have this season of Advent right here at the end of the year because it is an ending and also a beginning for us. And I think it's the deepest longing, really, of our hearts. And we might not even be able to express it, but I tell you this, every time that you ask somebody to pray, most every time that I ask somebody to pray and they're not expecting it, the same thing happens. And I don't even know that we're even conscious of it, but this is what happens. If somebody asks you to pray, you know, in the evening or whenever somebody asks you to pray, you're going to pray, and somebody always does this: God, be with Aunt Sally in her sickness. God, be with little Jimmy at his football game. God, be with the people that are in need on the other side of the world. God, be with. God, be with. And I always think God hears that prayer and God thinks, okay, I am. I am with her. I am with them. I'm here in you, in your faces. And I will be here in the end. And we take comfort in that because it gives us not just a looking forward with an absence of what's here, but a here with an expectation of what is to come. And I love the way that the Gospel of Matthew ends with everybody up on the mountaintop and they're looking out and Jesus says, go and baptize all nations in my name. I have all the authority. And people see the risen Christ and still some doubt because that's part of it. And he says, I will be with you even till the end of the age. I'll be with you in the end. In the end. And as I got these words prepared for today and I thought about the sermon, I went back through the Old Testament and found all the scriptures and looked at this expectation of Christ coming in Bethlehem, and then you look forward to celebrating that again, and you look forward to the end when Christ comes in final victory. And it it seemed like everything that I wanted to say, everything that I wanted you to leave here with and go into the Advent season contemplating and thinking about and praying is right here in your hymnal on page 196. Oh, good old Chuck Wesley. Oh, Charles Wesley. So I invite you to hear these words once again, as this is our prayer and our deepest longing as God's people, that God would truly be with us and that we might come into a deeper awareness of that presence. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Amen.